Our gospel lesson this morning is from John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse through the 31st verse. Again, listen for God's word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again shut up in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many things and many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written about in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
November the 22nd, 1963. August 31st, 1997. June 25th, 2009. These three dates all have something in common. Some of you may know right off what that thread is. The November date is probably the most well-known. It is the date that John Kennedy was assassinated. Some of us remember the shock, the grief, the fear that coursed our beings that day. Shocked that such a thing could happen. Here was a bright, young, charismatic leader snatched from the world in an instant. Grief for a young family. Suffering the loss of a father, a husband, a friend. Fear of what would come to our nation. Was this just the first salvo in another Pearl Harbor? Who could possibly take JFK's place? Our fears were somewhat allayed in the fact that a new president was installed within hours of the passing of Kennedy. the August date, was that of the car wreck that killed Princess Diana of England. She had become such a symbol of grace and love to the world. The shock was staggering for most people. Their grief was profound. The June date was the untimely and unexpected death of Michael Jackson. We'd followed his rise from being a preteen to becoming one of the most beloved and gifted entertainers ever. Many were appalled by his lifestyle and his desire for seclusion, but the world was mesmerized by his talent and imagination. Today, we are considering another death. This death occurred in the year 33. Those who followed this person suffered shock, grief, and fear. I'm sure they thought this was an untimely death. Most of them had seen his brutalized body on the cross. They may have cowered on the edge of the crowd that watched as he was placed on the cross, but they saw it nonetheless. Many saw the spear touch his body. The blood and water flowed out. They knew he was dead. They saw the body taken down, wrapped in cloths, and carried off to a cave for burial. Their promised one was gone. The shock of losing a loved one was real. The grief they shared was grief of anyone losing a loved one. Then came their thought, what now? Their hopes and dreams, their futures had all been placed on this man. They gathered together for support. They came together to grieve. They came together for what they thought would be for protection, for security, and for companionship. They had been together for a couple of years, and it just seemed the natural thing to do. Then, it was the first day of the week, a new beginning. That morning, Mary Magdalene had gone to the gravesite and found it empty. She came back and told Peter and John, who also went to look and found the tomb empty and came back to where they were saying, having seen nothing more than the wrapping cloths. Mary Magdalene had followed them and later came back to the group to tell them that she had seen the Lord. But you know how she fantasizes. After all, she was a woman, and you know those emotional women made more about everything than it really was. The followers just seemed to blow off her report. The group's real concern was this. If the Jews could do this to Jesus, certainly they could do it to them. So, they stayed together behind a locked door. Did we share some of that same sense of insecurity when Kennedy was assassinated? Do we share that same kind of fear when we lose any leader, whether of a nation, at work, or here at church where we lost Rick just a year and a half ago? Do we hide behind locked doors, thinking that they provide security for us? And do we hide behind actual doors, or are they the doors to our innermost beings, the doors to our hearts and souls? And then Jesus suddenly appears among them. How did he get in there through these locked doors? Does it matter? Can Jesus get through the locked doors to our hearts and into our innermost beings? And how does Jesus appear into our lives? Does he appear in bodily form, spiritual form, a mental image? Does it matter? The fact is that Jesus has come into our lives. Jesus appeared. The disciples rejoiced. Do we rejoice when Jesus appears in our lives? Jesus said to them, "Peace." Just saying that word put the disciples at ease. It calmed their fears. It eased their grief. It provided the hope and assurance of the resurrected Lord. Again, as Jesus comes into our lives, he is saying peace to us. Jesus is trying to put us at ease. The Lord is trying to calm our fears and anxieties. Jesus performed kind of a commissioning service. Jesus was sending the disciples out to begin carrying on the work. The work which God had begun in Christ. The work of wholeness and love. Jesus, God, breathed on them the Holy Spirit. This was the same Spirit God breathed into and onto the surface of the deep, the chaos of creation, and into the nostrils of Adam as life was given. The Ruach Elohim, the breath of God. The same Spirit is with us today. God has breathed on us, and we are a part of that same group. Anyone who has turned to Jesus has the Holy Spirit as her or his advocate. You know, I find it interesting that there are two incursions of the Holy Spirit. In this instance, the Spirit is breathed, and we receive peace. The other is in Acts, where the Spirit came with a violent wind and flame, and we were given power. Now, I could have spent the entire sermon on Jesus' interchange with Thomas. How many of us are like Thomas? We need proof that God is and that God does and that God will do. Thomas wanted to see. Thomas wanted to feel. Thomas wanted the facts. Yet, once Thomas was confronted with the proofs of Jesus calling his name, he, without really touching Jesus, bowed down and worshiped Jesus and confessed Jesus as his Lord and God. How many believers have been touched by this story of grace where Jesus did not condemn Thomas for his unbelief, but challenged Thomas to believe? How many of us are believers simply because we confessed Jesus is Lord? But in closing, I really feel led to say that it is important to fast forward some 50 days after the crucifixion to see the disciples as they were going about their lives after today's encounter with Jesus in the gospel and the events on Pentecost. The book of Acts says that Peter and John had been brought in front of the Jewish leaders for having healed and preached and done other things that the Holy Spirit had led them and empowered them to do. They were bold. They were inspired. God had given them the words to say, and they proclaimed the risen Lord. Friends, God has given us this same Spirit in order that we may go into the world and proclaim the resurrected power of Jesus. That because of His calling us, we can go into the world proclaiming forgiveness of sins and proclaiming the love and peace of our risen Lord to everyone. Let's do it, each in our own way. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we praise You for Your love shown to us in Jesus. We do indeed affirm with Thomas that Jesus is our Lord and our God. Through Your Spirit, help us to glorify Him in our lives. We ask this in His name. Amen.